Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. That's a wonderful song reminding us that Jesus Christ can satisfy the innermost longings of our hearts. I'm so glad that you're listening today, and I hope the message will be a blessing. I'm going to be sharing a sermon that I preached at Flintwood Wesleyan Church on Palm Sunday, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I do appreciate your prayers as I am involved in revival meetings during the month of May. This first weekend of the month of May, I'm at Cross Point Wesleyan Church in Mount Orab, Ohio. And then that, of course, is May 4 to 7. And then I'm going to travel to my home state of North Carolina. For those who listen to us on WPET, I'll be at Charity Baptist Church on Mother's Day for both services, morning and evening. And I would invite you to come and join us for those services. And then May 16 through 18, be traveling to Princeton, Indiana, to the First General Baptist Church. So I do covet your prayers as I am involved in these revivals and speaking engagements. God is so good. I'm so thankful for his blessing upon this radio program and upon Lohman Ministries. And you're a part of the blessing. Thank you for praying for us and for supporting this radio program. And we do indeed need the support of our listening audience so we can stay on this radio station. We are a faith-based program, have always been a listener-supported program. So we need for folks to step up. We said goodbye to one of our longtime supporters back in the month of March. And she had been supporting the program since the 1960s. And now she's with Jesus. And we need someone to step into the gap and take her place. So if you could help us out, it would mean so much. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and you can give through the Venmo or PayPal tabs there. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be able to bring the program to our listening audience today. And I pray for that person that might be struggling spiritually, that person that might be discouraged, that individual that needs a physical touch. Would you go to where they are right now, and may they sense your presence in a very real way. Bless the remaining part of the program. Continue to supply the need and bless in our revival meetings. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Gospel of John, chapter 12. It's been a great day in the city of Bethany, 2 miles from Jerusalem. A man by the name of Lazarus has been raised from the dead. The next day, verse 12, the great crowd that had come for the festival, that's the Passover feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified that these things would be done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." It happened 2,025 years ago, approximately 50 days before the church of which you and I are a part was given birth. Oh, the scene is familiar to most of us who have been around the church any length of time. We, not the Bible, call it Palm Sunday or Hosanna Sunday. The people of Jerusalem are preparing for the arrival of Jesus. They've been talking about him now for weeks. They've heard him speak. They've seen him do miracles. They've watched him impact the lives of the infirm, the sick. Now the news out of Bethany is that he is coming to the heart of Judaism. He's coming to Jerusalem. Oh, he'd been at Jerusalem before. When he was 12 years old, he came as a lad and astounded the religious leaders of his day. Jesus healed a blind man in Jerusalem and came under the pressure of the Pharisees for doing it. During the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, at Solomon's colonnade, he affirmed that he was indeed the Christ. He was the Messiah. And there were some at that moment wanted to stone him. Oh, he had been to Jerusalem before, but not like this. This was different. What's he going to do? He had already done so much. They're celebrating, you see, at that Passover feast, the deliverance of Israel from the hand of the Pharaoh. That's what that's all about. People can hardly wait for his arrival. For some, have you ever thought about it? What are they thinking about? I mean, they've heard about Jesus. He's got this remarkable reputation. What do you think they're thinking? What is he going to do? I'm sure for some of the people that had gathered there in Jerusalem, they thought his arrival would mean some kind of great miracle revival. Mass healings. He had healed people. He had fed people. Free meals. After all, many had seen him do those kinds of things. He had a reputation. For others, it was going to be some kind of great political rally. Some of them had to be thinking, now Jesus is coming in with all the power that he has. He's going to march down to the Antonia Fortress, and he is going to establish his kingdom and restore power to the Israelites that they rightfully deserve. Stage is set. The people are ready. And then Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Matthew adds to the story in chapter 21, verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." They're shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" They're taking their coats off and laying their coats in his path, taking palm branches and waving it to pay honor and glory to Jesus. They're actually doing something that is forbidden by the Roman government. They're taking their lives in their own hands by doing this. But their behavior is befitting a king, Jesus. Look at the setting. Jerusalem. It's already packed probably to capacity with the people who have gathered there to celebrate the feast of the Passover. Look at the crowd. Who's in that crowd? There's the common populace, the common folks, the people who are looking for the Messiah. They're looking for the King of Kings, the one that's been prophesied throughout their lives and the lives of their forefathers. It's standing room only. When Jesus arrives, the word has been spreading. The people have heard and can hardly wait for his arrival. Some have witnessed his ministry. As we noted, some have seen the miracles firsthand. The news out of Bethany talks about the resurrection. Bethany is only 2 miles from Jerusalem. 50 Jews had been mourning the death of this well-known citizen of Bethany. And these mourners have seen him come forth out of the grave after being in the grave for 4 days. They're not given to hallucination. They saw it with their own eyes. And some had not put their faith in Jesus before that moment. But John chapter 12 reads like this. At the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. So, Jerusalem is astir with the news of Lazarus' resurrection. Can't you imagine it? The air is filled with electricity. The crowd can hardly wait, clamoring, expecting the miraculous. Put yourself in the crowd. They're looking at one another. Did you hear about it? I heard that he was out there on the lake with some of his disciples, and the winds were blowing, and they thought they were going to drown. And he just spoke. And the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. Another says, "Oh, did you hear? Did you hear about the man over at Gadara? I mean, he was living in the tombs. Nobody could bind him. He would break the chains around him. He was so strong. He was demon-possessed. But yet Jesus approaches him and casts the demons out and put them in some pigs. And they ran over a cliff and were destroyed." It's amazing. Did you hear about Bartimaeus, the blind man? Born blind. But Jesus came and touched him. I wonder what he's going to do. It's going to be amazing. Waves obey his voice. Demons flee at his bidding. The human body responds to his touch. Here's the question regarding that crowd that was there. Are they praising him, acknowledging him for what he's done or for who he is? It's a question we need to ask ourselves this morning. Do we acknowledge Jesus for what he can do for us or for who he is? They're waiting with bated breath. Jesus, the sea walker. Jesus, the one who heals blinded eyes, open deaf ears, life to lame limbs. The crowd's waiting. What's he going to do? What's he going to say? You can believe they're not sitting back wondering when he'll be done. They want to hear what he has to say. The common people were there. The cynics were there. The Pharisees. They'd done their very best to squash him, to put him out of business, so to speak. They didn't like what he was doing. He was upsetting their religious apple cart. And they didn't like him. See how the whole world is going after him, they said. There's still a lot of cynics around today. We talk about Jesus and, oh, he was a good man. But the Son of God dying on a cross, that's just a made-up story. A lot of cynics around today. Ones who should have recognized him and acknowledged that he was indeed the Messiah was trying to kill him, trying to get rid of him. Then there was another group, the compelled ones. It says that a group of Greeks had come for the feast, and they walked up to a couple of the disciples and said this, "We would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." It's so simple. I think the greatest need of the hour is for us to have that mindset. We would see Jesus high and lifted up. They grasp, without even knowing it, the need of the 21st century church. I had a pastor ask me one day, he said, "Hey, Lane, you go to different churches almost every week in your ministry. What would you say is the greatest need in the church today?" And my response to that pastor and would be the same response today if asked the same question. A hunger for Jesus. A hunger for God. "We want to see him," they said. Then Jesus speaks. They're waiting. They want to hear what he has to say. And the very first thing out of his mouth is, "The hour has come." Can you imagine what went through their minds when he said that? This is what we've been waiting for. It's arrived. The day is finally here. He's going to do something with these Romans who have us under their thumb. He's going to establish the rulership of the Jewish people finally, once and for all. The hour has come. He's going to unleash this great political power that he possesses, and he's going to overcome the Roman government. The hour has come. And then he says this, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Oh, we can't even begin to understand what they might have done then. They begin to slap one another on the back. "He's our man. He's going to do it. We've been waiting for this. He's going to take over. It's going to be a great day for us, the Jewish people. The hour has come." Jesus is going to take all of his miracle power and give the Jews the recognition that they deserve. Things begin to flow from his lips now that they don't quite get. All he had to do was say, "Let's go." And the crowd would have followed his leadership and taken power under his leadership. But instead, look at his words. "Yes, I'm going to be glorified. That hour has come. But first, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Will you die with me?" he asked. The sermon. The sermon that Jesus now shares with that great crowd on Palm Sunday is the heart of why he came. The crux of the matter. He's walking in the shadow of the cross. It'll just be a few days when they finally apprehend him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they take him back through a mock trial and then turn him over to the Roman leadership, and then he's finally released to those who will crucify him. He's walking in the shadow of the cross. 3.5 years he has been trying to penetrate the hearts and the minds of those who are following him. The message of his kingdom. It was not going to be a political kingdom. It was going to be a spiritual kingdom. They have to get it. They have to understand what his kingdom is all about, because if they don't get it, the kingdom that he represents will not mean anything. They've got to be able to understand it and propagate it, share it with the multitudes.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.